and welcome to the program. We continue in our series on dealing with our feelings, and we'll begin a series here within this series, particularly to do with small churches, dealing with our feelings in the small church. Unfortunately, we have the unscriptural idea that numbers has something to do with success. The truth of the matter is, as Paul the Apostle wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and wrote to local churches, we find that he was constantly writing to churches that were meeting in houses. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 5, he said, "Likewise greet the church that is in their house." Great book of Romans, written to a small church. The Corinthian churches, Paul's letters were written to those meeting in houses. 1 Corinthians 1:11, he wrote to those which were in the house of Chloe. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 15, he was talking to those in the house of Stephanas. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 19, he referred to Aquila and Priscilla and the church that was in their house. When he wrote the Colossians and the Laodiceans, he wrote people who were meeting in a house. He said in Colossians 4:15, "Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house." When he wrote to Philemon in Philemon chapter 1 and verse number 2, he referred to them that were in his house. And then if we go through the book of Acts, we see in Acts chapter 16, verse number 40, Paul and Silas entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. The church was in the house of Lydia. Acts chapter 17, verse 5, Jason there, it says, "But the Jews set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people," them, those people who were meeting in his house church. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 20, Paul said, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house." What am I saying? I'm saying that for the first 250 to 300 years, houses were where they met. They didn't have any church buildings at all. And we get the idea today that unless we have some kind of a big church and some kind of a big paved parking lot outside with buses parked all over it, we're not doing God's will. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have had the privilege over the years of traveling across Canada more times than I can mention. I can't remember how many times I've been across this country. And the reason for going across the country was to preach in these small churches that are represented in some of these little towns. All across this nation, there's little churches 20 or 30 years ago had 20 or 30 people, and 20 or 30 years from now they'll have 20 or 30 people, and they're not failures because they don't have a large group of people. They're only failures if they quit. The Bible says it required that we be found faithful. And so we'll see as we go through this series that one of the greatest reasons that we are discouraged in our little churches is we have a wrong understanding of what the church is all about. Now, I want to say this before we get into this series. This is not a license for disgruntled people to reject pastoral authority and go sit in their houses and call it a church. The churches were organized. They were small. They were in houses. But they had pastors. They had deacons. They had an organization. It wasn't just a bunch of disgruntled people like it's going on today where they say, "Well, let's just go meet in our house and we'll call it a church." We need to understand what a church is. We need to understand what a church is not. We need to understand the purpose of the local church. We're going to look at dealing with the unique circumstances that we are faced with in small churches. and how to have contentment in spite of those circumstances. Before we get started on this, listen to this message and song. I like this message and song. We play it quite a bit. I just keep trusting my Lord.
I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away. Just keep trusting your Lord as you walk along. Just keep on trusting your Lord, and He'll give a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, keep right on trusting your Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. You can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, just keep on trusting your Lord. He will never.
We're going to be looking at dealing with our feelings in the small church. Now, to deal with something is to take action to get something right. This isn't right. We need to deal with it. If our feelings are not what they should be, according to the scriptures, then we need to deal with it. Now, we get into a small church. There's all kinds of reasons why we can have some discouraging feelings. Usually the small church is short of funds and it's short of help, and we can't get the equipment that we need, and we are trying all the time to imitate what the big churches are doing. Well, it's impossible for us to do that. And the end result of that kind of thinking is discouragement. Some years ago, I got up early in the morning, as I usually do, and I was going to go over to the church. It was a Sunday morning. I was going to go over there and study and get ready for the services, and I looked outside. There was snow like you wouldn't believe. I could hardly get the van out of the driveway. I drove over to the church, and I couldn't get in the parking lot because the parking lot was full of snow. The front steps of the church had 3 or 4 feet of snow on them. As I drove over there, I noticed quite a few apostate churches, big buildings. They had their parking lots all cleared. They had these big, fancy, humongous snowblower tractor-type things in there blowing them out. And I thought, sure, they can get their parking lot cleaned out. We can't get ours. What am I going to do? You look at these situations, and the first thing you have to do is deal with your feelings. I came back home and I phoned someone and said, could you phone everybody, please, and let them know there's no services today in our church. Then I went and changed my clothes and put on some old clothes and some warmer clothes, and I got my snowblower out of my garage and I went over to a neighbor's house. There was an older couple there. I said, if I can't preach with my Bible this morning, I'm going to preach with my snowblower. And so I just blew out the snow for them so that if they needed to get out, they could. And they thanked me so much, and I had a great opportunity to witness to those people. Couldn't do it at church that day, but I could do it with my snowblower. You say, well, is that honoring God? You better believe it's honoring God. You could sit around and mope and feel bad and risk everybody's life trying to get them into a building because, that's what we said we have to do. That's what the fundamental movement says you have to do. What we're going to be doing in this series is we're going to be looking into the scriptures and see what is scriptural, and what we need to do is have a scriptural thinking. The Bible is very plain about the fact that we need to learn how to be content no matter what the situation is. Now, Paul the Apostle said in Philippians chapter 4, he said, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. He continued, I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He said, first of all, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Now, learning is the acquiring of knowledge, but in order to do that, we have to spend some time studying. And we're going to look at and study to see how we can learn what Paul the Apostle learned. He said, I have learned, I know how, I am instructed. But he also said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so contentment for Paul the Apostle in the many trying circumstances that he went through, contentment was a byproduct. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, godliness is living according to the will of God and according to the way God wants us to live, His will and His way. And so godliness, living the way He wants us to live and knowing His will and doing it with contentment is great gain. Now, learning contentment requires investing time. It's like anything else. Learning demands study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed. We need to study concerning how to be content. Paul said he had learned it. Learning. And then he said, I know how. Knowing is an accumulation of information. He got the information. He said, this is what I can do. And he went ahead and did it in spite of the many trying circumstances that he went through. And he said, I know how. I have learned, he said, I know how. And he said, I am instructed. Instruction requires being teachable. Contentment also is a byproduct, a secondary result from doing something else. We have seen over and over again that the scripture says these things happen unto them and they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. There's a lot of things that happened unto Moses and a lot of things that happened unto Paul. Paul the Apostle said, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Moses could not say that. Moses never learned to be content in whatever state he was in. For example, in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 21, when he was living on the farm and everything was going great, just get up and look after a few sheep and just go through the family life. We read in Exodus 20 and 21, Moses was content. Well, when he got a large crowd, Numbers chapter 11, verse 14, he said, I am not able to bear all these people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Well, he'd gone from being content to being wretched. He said, I cannot bear all this people. Sometimes pastors think we'd be just great if we could just have more people. You have more people, you have more circumstances that'll cause you problems. Some years ago, my phone was ringing and I picked it up, and it was a pastor of a small church, had about 40 people, and he was ready to quit. He was very, very discouraged, and I spent about 20 minutes to half an hour trying to convince him that he should not quit his church. I had just hung up the phone. The phone was still warm from leaning against my ear when it rang again, and I picked it up, and there was a pastor with a church of about 400 people, and he was so discouraged, and I had spent about a half an hour trying to convince him not to quit his church. It doesn't matter whether you have 400 or whether you have 40, you're going to find that if you have people, you're going to have some circumstances that will cause you some discouragement. Well, Paul the Apostle said he learned how to be content in whatever state he was in. And if we're going to learn contentment, we need to look at Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. It says, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We're going to be looking at living above the circumstances, especially the circumstances in the small church. Let's make this song our prayer. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me.
Ready, my God, thy will to see.